Would the children come forward, please?
Thank you.
Can you start handing these out for me?
You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, nor gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, and you shall not lie to one another, and you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor, you shall not steal, and you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Thanks to Donnie for giving us all a lesson in mission. You all have a water bottle in your possession now. May it remind you of something you need to do this week. You'll figure it out. From Matthew 5, verses 38-48, Jesus is teaching. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here ends the reading from Matthew 5. My message this morning is called Revised. When there's a bar fight and the police show up, what do they ask? Who started it? If Joe hit you first, it is okay to hit him back. Well, of course. We got it wrong. We misunderstood. Often I picture God shaking a weary gray head. Don't make me come down there. God sent prophets. We didn't listen. They did not affirm our greed, our prejudice, our superiority. So we ignored them. You know, if you drop a prophet in a deep, dark hole, they go away quietly and there's no blood on your hands. Then God sends another. And when that prophet criticized our greed, our prejudice, our disdain for the lowly, we ignored that one too. God gave another weary shake. Then God arrived as a wide-eyed newborn snuggled under Mary's robe, then a curious boy at his father's elbow. Then Jesus began to teach. Finally, we felt God's thunder in an earthly human voice. We heard scolding instruction and tender love with such breathtaking clarity that we hit our knees and opened our ears. He speaks as one with authority. Yes, he did. Yes, he does. If a soldier orders you to carry his pack a mile, carry it a second mile to spare someone else, to be bigger, more gracious than you have to be. The Old Testament law told us we could not take a poor person's cloak, his or her outer garment. So if the man comes to collect your debt and takes your tunic, your main clothing, hand him your coat as well. Embarrass the stuffings out of him. Why are you naked? Because I borrowed money to feed my children and he took all my clothes. Jesus changed the rules. He changed what mattered. He redirected our energy. Dr. Bill Cloak is a psychotherapist. Once when he was sitting with a couple for marriage counseling, he marveled at their argument. Surely all that anger was not really about what she said at a party 15 years ago, or that he was not helping around the house. Not too surprisingly, the modern fights build on ancient foundations. The husband suspected that his wife never really loved him, just as his parents never really wanted him. The wife grew up in the shadow of a treasured, revered big brother, never being noticed herself. Most of us carry at least a little such baggage. I am right to scream at you because you think I am stupid or lazy, just like my folks. It's not really funny how we drag old hurts to our current jobs or relationships. But you know, it's not our fault that our parents weren't perfect. No. It's not our fault that our loved one sometimes says the wrong thing. No. However, if we decide it is okay to get revenge at 40 for crimes committed against us when we were 9, it will be our fault, Jesus says. Jesus starts his lesson with a quote from Old Testament case law. Case law gives specific penalties for certain crimes. If two people are fighting and put out a bystander's eye, their penalty shall be loss of an eye. A deterrent. Do not fight where others might get hurt. Take it outside. Taken seriously, your clan suddenly has 3 half-blind members. Not a productive day by any measure. Now, Jesus quoted this judgment to teach us what? We got it wrong. We misunderstood. The real issue in this marriage or in a million other relationship battles is not that reaction that bubbles up from the ancient past. We cannot prevent that old hurt, that replayed shame, that unsatisfied ache from rising in today's setting. Suddenly it's in the front of your mind. How dare he insult me like that? Who does she think she is, treating me like dirt? It is the next step that Jesus addressed here. The part where you poke someone's eye out. The step where you attack with words or fists, that is not acceptable. Jesus said, do not resist an evildoer. But we protest, he's a bad guy. She has no right. Does not matter. The bad guy being bad was not up for discussion. Jesus lived among Roman soldiers. If they decided you had committed a crime, fact really didn't matter. If someone in your village plotted against Rome or someone thought they did, the Roman authorities might slaughter everyone in your village as a lesson. The bad guy being bad is not up for discussion. Your wife insulting you in front of your brother is not the issue. Entitlement is the issue. Your wife is laughing at your clumsiness, just like your dad, just like that coach. You are entitled to tell her off. You are entitled to make fun of her hair in front of her friends. Fair, right? Fair is not involved. Jesus said, no. No one is entitled to revenge, to get even, to teach them a lesson. No one is entitled. Sometimes another perspective can help us see more clearly. Someone asked Buddha what to do with anger. He said, don't repress it, but don't express it. How can that make sense? Doesn't our anger have to come out? Odd that Jesus never mentioned hitting pillows. Modern Buddhist Thich Nhat Hanh writes, when you express your anger, you think you are getting anger out of your system, but that's not true. When you express your anger, either verbally or with physical violence, you are feeding the seed of anger, and it becomes stronger in you. Oh, preacher, we don't want psychology. We want good old Jesus. Me too. Is it not amazing that Jesus was teaching 2,000 years ago what your therapist charges you for at an hourly rate? What did Jesus tell us and show us to do? Pray. Pray. Love everyone. Friends, strangers, enemies, weirdos, outcasts. Love. Feed the hungry. Visit prisoners. Free the oppressed. Make sure there is justice for the poor. Shed our stuff, silos and clothes and big houses. Well, I think those are all fine and dandy. But what does all that do-goody busy work have to do with our anger? I cannot say for sure because I'm not close yet. But if we look at the people who live the Jesus life, they do not waste time on anger. They do not spend their energy on anger. Scholar Walter Wink says that the most quoted scripture in the early church was this Matthew 5 line from Jesus. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Why was the church at 50 years old, at 100 years old, quoting this line? Just as humans like to blame the Irish, the Jews, the Germans, the Poles, the undocumented, the gays for social upheaval, unemployment, the early Christians were suspected of human sacrifice, allowing women and slaves to be uppity, all manner of crimes against culture. It's their fault. Members of the early church were hauled off to jail. They were thrown into arenas with lions. They were tortured and dismembered. If your mother were hauled away by soldiers and fed to lions, you could be angry. Excuse me. Many would certainly say, you have a right to be angry. But the community that surrounded you and loved you through that nightmarish, wrenching loss said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What do you know? 200 years of praying for those who persecute you, and the Roman Empire was Christian. That Jesus, smarter than we think. So when your boss writes you up for imaginary infractions and lets his pet employee sleep on the job, you could get angry. Or you can love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When I marry people, I tell them that love is not a vague feeling we fall into and out of. Oops, next. Love is something you are promising to do no matter what. Just love. No matter what. What if all the Christians were so busy feeding the hungry, visiting prisoners, righting injustice, liberating the oppressed, that we forgot to get angry, had no time to get even, had no brain space left for remembering our grudges? You have heard it said, no matter what we learned in fifth grade, Jesus said no hitting. Jesus said if someone hits you, let him hit you again. No time for anger or plots or revenge, fellows. I have children to teach, meals to prepare, injustices to write my legislator about. I am carrying soup to the sick and sending a postcard to a man in prison. Now, what was I supposed to be angry about? Amen.